Hey, welcome to the List Film Podcast. Yeah, that's who we are. We are a weekly podcast where we list and discuss our top five favorite topics of the week. And this week we're talking about our favorite time travel films, correct?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's four of us, myself, Ricardo.
Jenny.
Adam Scott.
Kevin.
Everybody's all professional today. It's weird.
Except for my
your cocktail.
My booze.
Well, it's very like it's very Mad Men-ish.
You know? Yeah,
you're like we're gonna sit down and do a little cocktail. Gotta have a little, you know. Gotta have a little podcast with my cocktail.
Where's my rye?
So it's four of us. We listen and discuss our top five favorite films, actors, whatever have you. But today we're talking about our favorite movies that include time travel in the film. And why don't we start off by talking about some movies we've seen. Anything in theaters? Something that you that. What did you laugh, Jen? Oh, I know what we saw. Now I remember.
I tried to forget that.
That happened this week, guys.
What happened?
Wait, which one are you talking about? Is this something you're allowed to talk about, or something that you may or may not have seen?
No, we're allowed
to talk
about
it.
Yes, we saw it.
Did you see Men in Black 3?
Yes,
but that's not what we're talking about.
Are you talking about Snow White and the Huntsman?
No,
really.
This movie Worse. Actually came out a couple weeks ago, but we finally got around to seeing it.
Battleship.
Yeah. Yes, dude. Yes. Well, in our defense, There's no defense. There's no defense.
I got exactly what I was expecting.
I tried to dig myself out of that hole, and I couldn't. I'm like, well, we were kidnapped by the Taliban, and they tortured us by watching Battleship.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen.
I mean,
I wish it would have.
I can say that I had to review it for MoviePass, so... But I also,
you have a really great excuse.
Yeah.
That's a great excuse.
I didn't hate it as much as I thought I was going to, though. You guys all like you look like you really.
It's
you
a
look
really
like someone
good
looks
movie
after they just
if
watched
you're
two girl one, two
a
girls
middle
one
school
cup.
Boy.
Yes,
then it's yeah, that, really good.
There you go. Yep.
Well, yeah,
and not even because there's no like you know boobies or anything. So I wish it was more boobies.
I guess
if there's a pretty good shot of Brooke and Decker.
Yeah, not enough.
Yeah.
This is the thing that I don't know what went wrong. I went in thinking I'm gonna have a fun time, and it didn't happen. I had a fun time like turning and looking at Jenny and Kevin, like going, "Is this?" It was like the kid that went to the dentist. I'm like, "Is this real life?" I felt like that kid. I felt like I don't know if I'm dreaming.
Yeah,
or...
I just kept laughing when he goes. Miss. I was like, oh my God, he said it.
Yeah,
he said it. Oh, at least they never said you sunk my battleship.
I think you made the mistake of going in looking for a good time. I went in expecting.
No, I went in expecting it
to
not
be
bad,
good,
too.
But having a bad good time. Like,
yeah. Like enjoying it because it's so bad.
Yeah.
That's what I was expecting. Like, I'm just going to be like, you know, it's not going to be good, but I'm going to get some action out of it. That'll be nice.
Yeah. And that wasn't nice.
That
I
just
still
wasn't,
enjoyed it.
It wasn't enough.
Than
it wasn't
any
enough.
Transformers movie.
I have to admit that I had more fun with Transformers movies than with this.
Nope.
At least you have fun.
I'm glad someone's on my side.
I liked the first Transformers movie, but only because I liked the dialogue in the Transformers movie, whereas in this movie, it was all shitty.
Hold on.
No, I
liked
it.
You like the dialogue
I liked it better
in a
than
Transformers
Battleship.
Movie.
I liked the dialogue better in Transformers than in Battleship.
There was more
and
funny
that's
stuff.
Saying
there
something.
Was, in Transformers
that's
1,
saying something.
There was Shia LaBeouf was funny and
yeah, at least it had that going for
it. Had
for
Shia LaBeouf. This did not have Shia LaBeouf. Okay?
All the cast was terrible. There was all the supporting cast. They just could not hold up to it. If you're going to have a shitty movie, you got to have a cast that can at least bring it. And the cast was shitty.
Yeah, but Battleship didn't give me a headache like every Transformers movie ever.
Mm. All right. Well, we stand.
I'm not. Well, at the same time, though, neither of us should be defending either of these movies.
No, you're right. You're right.
Let's just say that they both.
Which one do we hate less?
Franchises suck.
The thing is, I paid $8. I got my ticket discounted from Costco. I went.
That's how he convinced me to go. He was like, "What if we get discounted tickets?" I was like, "Okay,
all right." Because $8 doesn't seem that much, but then when I got out, I'm like, "I paid too much. I overpaid."
Yeah.
You know? This is Netflix streaming movie. If that, I should have waited, and I just.
Also amendments. I also had the benefit of after watching it, I was like, "Well, I'm here." might as well just watch the Avengers again. Oh. So that was nice. That was a plus.
Well planned. Yeah. See, we should have done that, but we saw the last show. So we just couldn't stay out that late.
Well, speaking of disappointing movies, I saw Snow White and the Huntsman.
Uh-oh. Oh, really?
Really?
It was really bad.
Yeah.
And what made
Before we go on, Jenny and Kevin, well, how much would you guys pay to see Battleship?
I would not ever see.
So to recommend to other people,
I would tell people not to see it.
Okay, don't see it.
Don't even. Okay, maybe watch it if it's on cable and you're.
Yeah, there you go.
And you can, you know,
do your laundry,
get drunk,
if
and
you're
watch
two
it.
In-flight movie choices are yes. Battleship and what's worse than Battleship?
That's my boy.
Tyler Perry movie.
Yes.
There you then go. Watch Battleship.
Watch Battleship.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Sorry.
And Kevin? we apologize to all the Tyler Perry fans.
I know. Do we have any of those?
I don't know.
I'd Redbox it.
Redbox. Okay.
Really? Okay.
$1.29?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, it reminds me.
Then you can go home and drink.
It's up to $1.29 now?
Yeah.
Oh my god! I thought it was just a buck
or $1.09
for Blu-rays.
It's $1.09 for DVDs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
I remember that band.
$1.09 for DVDs. So back to Snow White and Huntsman.
Yeah, it was just really disappointing. And what made it worse is it has moments that are really cool.
Really.
But it's just really slow and tedious, and just reminds me of like all the worst parts of Lord of the Rings. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, if you're a person who doesn't believe that there are bad parts of Lord of the Rings, then maybe you'll love Snow White and the Huntsman. Yeah. I have a feeling that if you're a diehard Lord of the Rings fan, you probably won't like Snow White and the Huntsman, though.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of dumbed down. And like just really weird screenwriting.
Even the cinematography wasn't good?
It looks really good. Like, it's got great visuals, but like the directing and the writing are my biggest issue. And like, I want to say the acting, but again, I kind of just blame the director for that, because you have good actors, it's just you don't send them in the right directions.
Yeah,
it's like, what do you, why did you let them do that?
Yeah,
don't tell them to do that. Don't do something else.
Yeah. What was a good part of it? Was there anything good?
Like the visuals are great.
Yeah.
And there are some, the prologue is pretty interesting, the way they do that. But then it just kind of just sits there, and it's like waiting in the doldrums for stuff to happen. And then it kind of relies on the whole hero's journey very strong. It's like, oh, okay, he left, so I know what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about the dwarves? Any good?
I mean, they're all great actors. I was just sitting there watching it thinking, like, are little people upset that they cast actors, like regular size actors, and digitally did this to all of them rather than casting actual, like Peter Dinklage could have been one of the seven dwarves if he wanted to.
Could have been the head dwarf.
Yep.
He could have.
How were the dwarves?
Dwarves.
How do you say it?
All Steven Dorff's family were in the movie.
I can't say that word, apparently.
I mean,
you've
got,
I have no idea.
Bob Hoskins, Nick Frost.
That's right. They did
Ian McShane. They did the
regular people. Okay.
Yeah.
And they weren't funny?
No, they are funny. I was just sitting there watching, like, I wonder how many little actors, like actual little actors, missed out on.
Too. Yeah.
Some work here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This movie, they only make this movie like once every 10 years, and they lost their chance. I guess they were in Mirror Mirror. They had little people in that.
They did use actual little people in Mirror Mirror. And I mean, this was so bad. I'm like, well, maybe I should go watch Mirror Mirror and just. It looks really stupid.
Yeah.
Like, that one looked stupid. Yeah. Snow White looked interesting and was stupid, so I don't know what.
Yeah. I thought it looked interesting, and now I'm not. I don't know if I'm going to see it. But how much would you pay to see this movie?
Redbox. I would. Okay. Yeah. Buck 09.
Okay. Buck 09.
Buck 09.
All right. And then, Kevin, you and I saw Men in Black.
Yep.
Part 3.
Oh, yeah. I saw that also.
Oh. So, what did you think?
I didn't hate it.
Yeah, no. It's
I went in with, like, the lowest expectations ever.
Lower than Battleship expectations?
Yes. I both went in with no expectations. Like, being like, this is going to suck, so I'm just going to enjoy it. And, yeah. I don't know why I went. I think there's nothing out, and I had some free time, and I was like... I wanted to hang out with my friend Jeff, who we don't hang out with too much, and that was an excuse to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not disappointed because I had low expectations.
Yeah.
But I thought It was fun.
Did you think it was better than 2? Because I didn't.
Oh, no, no.
Really?
No.
I thought it was better than 2.
Okay.
Maybe oh, wait a minute. You thought... Oh, no, yes, yes. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yes.
3 was better than 2.
Yes, sorry. Okay. Sorry. I was like, no, no. I don't think 2 is better.
He's like, I really loved Lara Flynn Boyle so much. I think the movie deserves to get that merit.
Well, definitely... I mean, she's probably one of my favorite parts of 2,
yeah.
but...
Yeah. Yeah, I like how like they kind of... like Rip Torn, like there's a young version of him too, right? Was that war? Was I?
No, that's that was the weird thing. There was no
there was,
young,
there was right? no Rip young Torn, version. No. No.
Well, there's a young version of the girl at least.
Yeah,
yeah.
There should have been a young version of Rip
who
Torn.
Could play a young Rip Torn though.
That's tough.
Sam Rockwell. No.
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 I don't think anyone.
Paul Giamatti?
Everyone listen as we sit in silence and think of who could play a younger Rip Torn.
Just listen to the silence.
It would have been funny if they just had Rip Torn play a younger version of himself.
Yeah. Just play Rip Torn. Yeah. Like he never aged.
Yeah.
But apparently he's really hard to deal with. I know somebody who knows somebody.
Well, dude gets in fights with Norman Mailer, so what are you going to do?
He just got fired, I think, from a movie. So, damn. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought Josh Brolin did a really good job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the main reason I went to see it was because Josh Brolin doing a Tommy Lee Jones impersonation looked amazing, and it was really good.
I wish there was more of that. I wish there was more, and it was fun. I like the villain, the actor playing the villain,
Jermaine Clement.
Yeah,
yeah, he was really good.
Yeah,
kind of creepy.
Yeah, especially when he talked to himself.
Yes,
that's really funny.
Although at the same time, I was really just waiting for him to go into a Flight of the Conchords song.
Me too. But yeah, so I guess I'd pay what I paid for it, $8. Yeah.
I'd pay $8 to see it, yeah.
Yeah, $8.
Yeah. Well, we didn't pay $8, but I would pay $8.
Yes.
P12. Forgot. It hurts. but yeah, so is there anything else you guys saw? Jenny, did you see anything?
No,
that we don't know
that was
about? All right. So should we move on to the list?
I think we should.
Let's do it.
Did you have a stream of the week?
I do. A little movie called, Serenity. It's on Instant.
Oh.
Hmm.
So check it out. Yo. Jenny, you haven't seen it, right?
No, I haven't seen Serenity, but
Firefly.
I watched Firefly, yeah.
So it's a nice treat because it's like a bigger version, cinematic version of Firefly. It's like a second season.
Is it better to watch on a big TV?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It's pretty fun and yeah.
Cool. I haven't seen Firefly, but I saw Serenity in theaters and I loved it. Yeah. So
I saw it a couple times in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's our stream of the week. And
do you need to watch Firefly to see Serenity, or
no,
vice versa?
I saw Serenity before I saw Firefly.
Did that make Firefly better?
Yes.
So you would recommend watching the movie before the show?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But isn't it? But chronologically, it's the other way around. The show's before the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was kind of like if George Lucas had done a good job with Episode 1, 2, and 3. That's the feeling I got. Like, oh wow, that's how that happened, and it was really cool to be like. Because it worked for me. The movie just worked and it was fun and I didn't know anything about it. Hmm. I hadn't heard anything. And it worked for me. And then I'm like, I have to watch the TV show. And then I went back and I was watching the making. Like, oh, that's how they did this. And that's how this guy came on board.
Hmm. I gotcha.
It was really, it was fun doing it.
It's on my shame list of things I need to watch.
Hmm.
Yeah. Shame on you. So yeah, let's get into the list. And today we're talking about our favorite time travel movies. All right, who wants to go first? I feel like it's going to be a lot of...
Overlap.
Yep.
I went with stuff that kind of you don't hear too much. I tried to, but I ended up going with like, yeah.
I feel it's been a while since I went first, so I'll go first.
Okay.
Just because I don't want anybody to steal my picks.
Yeah. unless we steal your earlier, your like
that
twos or, or ones or threes.
That could happen.
Let's do it. Go ahead.
All right, so my number 5 from 1960, The Time Machine.
Nice. I kind of figured you would put this on your list, so I didn't.
Me too, for some reason.
We know each other so well.
No cock blocking there.
I love this movie. This is one of those late night TCM movies where it was just like, oh, hey, this is on. And I just watched the whole thing, and I loved it.
I can remember watching this as a kid and just loving it so much.
Yeah, what was it? Rod Taylor. I really like Rod Taylor.
Yeah.
What this and The Birds and... The only other thing that's coming to mind is he plays Winston Churchill in Inglourious Basterds.
That's right.
But I love him so much. He's really that charming leading man. And I just love the way that they do the time machine, the time travel, and watching like the sort of dynamation changing of the world outside of his time machine. And what, the Morlocks?
Yeah.
Love the Morlocks.
Are great.
It's just a fun movie. I got really sucked into it. I was really upset by the remake of it.
Oof.
Which tried
that's, to, that's just like the book?
The remake's not just like the book. Okay. I'm sorry, my drink hasn't kicked in yet.
No,
my sense of humor will be arriving shortly.
No, also, isn't there a story with Adam Roscoe, our friend from Portland? Mm-hmm. That does Trick in the
from
Park.
From Atomic Arts?
Yeah.
I believe he was lied to and told that it was just like the book.
Really?
Apparently, this is the story Brian with the Y tells. They went to see it first in the morning. He had to go to class or something.
Uh-huh.
And he's a big fan of the book.
Right.
And they got out and they're like, oh, this movie's crappy. And when he called, he's like, yeah, I'm going to go see it right now. I just got out. Is it good? And they're like, dude, it's so good. It's just like the book.
That's mean. Yeah.
So, yeah. And if you live near or around the Portland area, check out Atomic Arts and check out Trek in the Park.
Yeah, it's gearing up. It's coming up on summer.
July and August. Some dates, so check them out. I think you could find all the information at Atomic Arts, correct?
Yeah, atomicarts.com.
.com, yeah. You could find, and they do...
Or we can link to it in the page.
Yeah, we'll put a link to it. And it's really, really fun. It's just it's basically like Shakespeare in the Park, but they do old Star Trek episodes, so... it's live and it's fun and I gotta get up there to check it out. Have you seen it?
I haven't. They finished right before I got there last time I visited. They had just finished.
Oh, okay.
And then I was there just in time for auditions for the next season.
Oh wow.
Oh wow.
So. And it's like they gotten a lot of like coverage. Like NPR did a thing for them.
Yeah, they were featured on Portlandia.
Yeah. So if you again if you're in the area and you like old Star Trek episodes. They're live in the park. All right. So that's a good number five. I'm digging it. Digging where there's no cockfuckery so far.
And that's going to come to an end.
Yeah.
Okay. So my number five, I'm pretty sure I've listed in another podcast, but I can't remember. And I just like it so much that I decided to list it again. It's my only repeat, I'm pretty sure, though.
Okay.
So my number five is Back to the Future 2. It's my favorite of the Back to the Future series, and I had to put one of them on there. It's like classic time travel movie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to cockblock too much, but I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, you guys
I feel
are
like
whatever.
We can just assume that Back to the Future is...
Yeah. I didn't put it on my list.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys put it on your list. I didn't put
I'm
it just because...
I'm not going to say anything until later.
Yeah.
He's like, I like
Kevin Zuberbeer. Are you now or have you ever had Back to the Future on your list?
maybe.
But yeah, so I picked number two. It's the one that where they go into the future too, and I like that when Jaws comes out.
See, I like that until I saw three, and then I'm like, no, three.
Well,
I'm
like
a Western
Wild,
guy. Yeah.
Yeah, you like the West.
You're like you're a big fan of the Wild Wild West. So
I was about to say the Wild West.
We're talking about bad movies again.
Yeah.
So no, I'm a big fan of like Westerns. So that one definitely spoke more to me. This one, I don't. It's funny because it's kind of like the list for Back to the Future movies. I feel it's like, well, which one do you like the most instead of which one do you like the least? It's never the case because I love all of them. It's just which one do I like more?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And
I like all three of them.
I like one, and then three, then two.
Oh really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like two because it shows parts of one in it.
That's true.
Yep.
And
well,
the good
and it
parts.
Puts pieces together of story that happened in one.
Yeah.
Behind
yeah.
the scenes that we didn't see.
And that really kind of makes sense. Like, they're like, oh, wow, that happened?
Yeah. And you get to see Michael J. Fox as a woman. So that's interesting, too. I like that part.
He's like, hey, Grandma.
I do
like
that.
And it's funny, Crispin Glover isn't in this one. And they used a guy who looks a lot like him. And I think he's tried to sue or something.
He did, and he won.
He won.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, wow. Because it was his likeness.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, he won some money from it.
Interesting.
That's shitty.
Yeah.
Shitty that he sued or shitty that they used
his
likeness?
That he didn't come to the second one.
I know.
That's shitty about it. He didn't want to be in the second one.
Why couldn't
he didn't want to?
He didn't want to.
Oh, okay.
He didn't want to be
Well, he's Crispin Glover. He's busy writing those weird books and being Bartleby.
I think at that point he already like tried to... that's when he tried to kick David Letterman. Have you guys seen that?
I've heard about it.
Oh, watch it on YouTube, guys. I'll try to post it.
Whoa.
Oh, Crispin Glover goes on Letterman on acid. And he tries to kick him at one point, like runs.
What?
Yes.
Oh my god.
YouTube it. You can clearly see that he's really high. And he sits down and he's wearing like bell bottoms and like really like.
What did they
like,
do?
High heel like dress shoes. And at one point,
platforms?
He's explaining something. Platforms, that's what it is. Duh. And and at one point, he like tries to roundhouse kick him. He gets up and he's like showing him something, and it got really weird, and they just cut the commercial.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think he was ever asked back.
Wow.
But yeah, so I dig. She should have came back for part two, but I think
It wasn't for very much. It could have just been
one little scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't like hanging upside down.
I think he doesn't like hanging upside down.
Ugh, people these days, you know?
Yeah.
Can't live with him, can't live without him.
Yeah. Can't put someone else that looks like him, because they'll sue you. So that's your number five?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know what my number five is. My number five, I know what it is now. It is from 1994, and it's Time Cop. Yeah.
I knew you were.
It's a Van Damme movie.
It's a good Van Damme movie.
It's a good Van Damme movie.
I thought this would be actually higher on your list for some reason.
You know what? It's just... there was other things I want. Yeah. This list was hard because it was hard to rank them. But it's got Mia Sara, Ron Silver, Van Damme. Come on.
Yeah.
And it's directed by... Who directed this bad boy? A guy named Peter Hyams.
Yep.
Peter Hyams. He did End of Days. The great End of Days. He was a cinematographer. He started off as a cinematographer. He did The Musketeer, The Relic. He did a lot of Van Damme movies with him. But yeah, an 80s, 70s, 80s director, and I thought it was well done, and I like the fact that it includes a little bit of the Civil War in the beginning, and that always intrigued me. I was like, oh, I want to know more about this.
I don't remember that
The movie opens up, they stop this Confederate, wagon that's going to drop off gold bars. And he stops him, and it's a bunch of soldiers.
Oh, and he's got, like automatic weapons. Yeah, remember that.
Yeah, and I thought that was really cool. I'm like, oh, I want to see the time travel movie in the Wild West with, like, modern guns. So
it all comes back to the Wild West.
Yes.
Exactly.
The Wild Wild West.
So we can make a movie about someone time traveling back in time to stop them from making the Wild Wild West movie?
Yes. But, yeah, I love me some Van Damme. And this is the one where... he's going to shock Van Damme, remember? And there's water on the floor.
Yeah.
Yes. And he's got to do the splits on the counter. Because every time you see a Van Damme movie, you're like, when is he going to do the splits? When? And, you know, that's like the little like
the splits or the helicopter kick.
Yes. And that's like that's his trademark move. Like Tarantino has the hood where he pops the hood up.
Van Damme I heard that's how he got his agent. Like he did a helicopter kick over the guy's head.
Yeah. He's all, don't move. Bam. You know? And then he's like, hold on, put these two chairs together. And he just did splits.
Here are two bamboo trees. Tie my leg to one and the other one.
Yeah,
now stretch them out.
Yeah.
And he's got the awesome 90s mullet.
Yes.
Something about cops in the 90s had to have a mullet.
Yeah. And then, I thought really well done. It's got a good villain, Ron Silver. And we should talk also about the device they use. So, Adam, for years, it was the actual time machine.
Yeah, he used the time machine.
Michelle, pay no attention to Michelle, who's making noise in the background. It's fine. She's looking at me like, what the hell? No, I'm not here. Don't talk about me. Don't talk about me. Jenny, yours was the car, DeLorean, right?
Uh-huh.
Your time travel device.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what?
You're like, I don't know the DeLorean.
Your own time machine.
Yes.
Right,
the DeLorean you have parked down downstairs. Yeah.
Guys, don't tell people.
And it had to go all the way to 88. And in Time Cop, it's like this little like...
The time sled.
The time sled. Yeah. And which was weird was because you didn't need a time sled to come back. I always find that weird. Like, why do you need a sled to get there but not to come back? You think it'd be the same device.
Maybe you retain that motion.
I guess.
You retain their motion through time.
Because when you return back on the sled too, which is weird. When they come back...
You come back in the sled.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre. And the sled doesn't leave just you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like you have to be going a certain speed. Wait. And then
I think the sled would leave too. I think. And then it would come back through the little... Because it was a little like keyhole thing at the end. that you would. Well, I just remember him
saying the two red spots on the wall. Yeah, like, those were the twins.
Yeah, yeah.
I see all their faces right now. It's really great. All the veins. Nerd came out and all of them veins really bulging.
Wait a minute.
No, the sled has to go this fast. And I think the sled stays. No, wait, it goes. No, it stays. What?
Anyway, it's a sled.
Because wasn't there...
Can we pause for a second and just watch the trailer to see?
Also, like, yeah, because all they had to do was like, just move forward, and they would come back in time. Remember? Like, when in the first jump, he jumps through the window, uh-huh. grabs his feet, then he hits the little button, and comes back.
Right.
But I wonder, what if you bring back 10 guys? They don't fit in all in the sled. They're all, like, sitting in each other's lap.
They're just standing on top of each other.
So, awkwardly. But we have to find out.
I'm guessing even Van Damme might have trouble bringing 10 dudes back at the same time.
Yeah. I think he's got to do one at a time. Or else you don't want to sit somebody in your lap when you're time traveling. No. Really uncomfortable. If it's really bumpy, you know, you're like, oh, sorry.
What if you, like, merge together like the fly somehow?
Oh, and, like, yeah. Some sort of mullet-wearing, roundhouse-kicking Ron Silver. Yeah, that's my movie.
I love it. And this is one of the few movies where they do the same matter can't occupy the same space at the same time.
Yep. Yes.
Which terrifies me. I never want to see another
movie. Me neither. I don't want to see myself.
Don't come near me. Stay away. I saw Time Cop.
Yeah. And Jenny's, you just faint.
Well, but the doc says you could tear a hole in the rift of space and time. But they didn't. He didn't know.
Yeah, he didn't.
He said either they're going to faint or that's going to happen.
Yeah. So. And Jennifer met her, you know, she basically touched herself, I think, because he picked her up.
No, they see each other, and she's like, I'm old, I'm young, and then they...
And yours, we don't know.
You're so good at reenacting it.
No. Because he goes forward, he doesn't go back.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that's the other thing, I feel like most of the time people go back in time, not forward in time.
Yes. You're right.
Because, like, Time Machine, they go forward in time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Back to the Future 2, they go forward in time. Mm-hmm. But in Time Cop, they only go back.
Yeah. Interesting. Back and forth.
Well, yeah.
Kevin, what's your number five? Let's get all nerdy.
Well, okay, and my number five is a classic. It comes from 2010, and it's Hot Tub Time Machine.
Shut up! That's my number four.
Oh, the cock blockery.
Yes.
At least it was close.
Yeah. I love this movie. It's hilarious. Craig Robinson is great, especially when he's high on coke and trying to relate their situation to Terminator.
Dude, cock blockery.
Yeah, that's true. So yours is the vehicle is a hot tub.
Yeah, hot tub that gets
spilled beer on.
Not beer, it's Chernobyl. It's an energy drink from Russia.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which makes sense.
Yes, it does make sense. Perfect sense.
I like all the 80s references in this.
And
the Red Dawn thing, because I'm a big Red Dawn fan.
Did you watch Red Dawn again, dude?
Yes. Yeah.
Billy Zabka's in this.
Billy Zabka, and he's great in it.
As everybody knows him, William Zabka. He's Johnny in Karate Kid. And he's in this, and
Crispin Glover's in this.
Crispin Glover's in it. Yep.
Yes,
they're like, is he gonna lose his arm?
Yes, I hate when that they get that you even you as an audience you're like, fuck,
just lose do it.
You lose your arm already.
You're like, you don't deserve that arm. Yeah, I really thought I was going to hate this movie. Like, I went in being like, this is the stupidest movie.
Well, and I just
loved it.
Yes. I remember seeing the trailer and I'm like, what is John Cusack doing in this?
Yeah. Exactly.
And then I saw him like, I don't fucking care. It's really funny.
It was a brave move, like, to do this. And I thought it was really well. He should do more like this, like slapsticky kind of.
He should do more Hot Tub Time Machine, less The Raven.
Yes.
Yes.
One of my favorite scenes is with Crispin Glover is when he's handling their bags and he only has one hand. Right? and he's kind of just like tossing. And Rob, what's his name?
Cordry.
He's like, do you need help? And he's like, no. And he starts chugging through. He's so offended by them.
Well, and the scene right before that where Clark Duke picks up his bag and he gets so pissed off and yells it and then tears it out of Clark Duke's head.
He was really funny in this. He wasn't weird at all. Well, he was weird, but in a funny way.
Yeah.
Intended to be weird.
Chevy Chase is like God
or
whatever.
Yeah. He's like the
time machine.
The timekeeper.
Yeah,
the
there you go.
He's the time lord.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase is the time lord.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of really cool like when he's trying to have a threesome. There's a lot of funny stuff. All right. Cool pick.
Yeah.
It's a wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wait, so I'm on number four now?
Yep.
All right. I feel like I might have to cheat for number four. But I mean, they're the same franchise.
Okay.
And it's not an aforementioned franchise.
Okay.
Star Trek.
Ooh, the, nice. The new one.
The new one is like the number one of this three-way tie.
Okay.
Okay.
So there's Star Trek from 2009, Star Trek First Contact.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Nice.
Yes.
Let's not worry about Star Trek Generations.
Yeah.
Because that one kind of hurts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the 2009 Star Trek, that was on my, for shooting the script, when we did our top 20 of the decade, that was one of my top 20 films of the decade. I loved that movie so much.
I loved it a lot, too. I've never seen the William Shatner series.
Yeah, I came just from having seen the movies.
I've only seen Wrath of Khan of the old ones,
mm-hmm.
and then all the Patrick Stewart ones.
Okay.
So that's where I came from. And I love the new one. I don't care what people say. I loved it. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing. And again, I wasn't a Trekkie or a Trekker. Yeah. I always forget because I'm not one. Yeah. So I don't know. Trekkie. Even though I'm friends with Trek in the Park people, yeah. I always forget which one's correct. So they can tell me in the comment section.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the new movie too. I'm not much of a Star Trek person. I'd like to be into it. It seems like something I would like.
Yeah.
There's
so many things.
Well, every series is on instant right now.
Yeah, yep. I know. I need to watch it before they go away.
This is on definitely my guilty. What is it?
On your Shameless.
Shameless. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Shameless.
I tried watching Star Trek Next Generations, and I got through several seasons, but it's so much that I had to take a break for a little bit.
Is that where you started, Next Generation? Or
had you seen the original?
I'd seen a good chunk of episodes from the original.
Oh, okay.
Well, I know a lot of people who are, they're just Next Generation fans. They don't necessarily care for the original series. I like them both. I haven't really gone beyond that. Although I do remember when Deep Space Nine started, watching that for a while, just because Sisko was black, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no good reason why.
Yeah.
But anyway, so 2009 Star Trek, I love how they deal with the time travel in this, and it's through a black hole, basically, because of red matter. That's their device.
Yeah.
But I love how they do the whole multiverse approach to it, where they create an alternate timeline. I like that. I'd take on time travel, where there's different timelines.
Yeah.
Where you can go back and change something, but then it creates a new timeline.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. It's kind of like a different dimension.
Yeah. Which brings me back to the shitty Time Machine remake, where it's like, there can be no alternate. There's only one, and that's why you can't go back in time and save your wife. Bullshit.
Yeah.
You create a new timeline.
Yeah. And, I dig this movie. I like the direction. I can't wait for part two.
Yes.
It was a good villain. Eric Bana was really good.
He was
very underrated.
Yeah.
I think because he didn't come out and he wasn't like, he just wanted revenge. Like, he wasn't and just the way he did it, and it was very subtle, and a lot of people didn't even know it was Eric Bana. They didn't really advertise him a lot. I felt it was all about Chris Pine.
Chris Pine. And then I love First Contact. I have a three-way tie with this and First Contact and Voyage Home.
Yeah.
But I remember enjoying Voyage Home, but I don't remember it as much as I remember First Contact.
Yeah.
First Contact's just badass. You've got the Borg and time travel and Captain Picard kicking ass.
Yep. Yeah.
What more do you need?
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I dig them both, but I do dig the new one a lot better, and I can't wait. Like I said, I'm excited for the new one.
Yeah.
Next year.
And then Voyage Home, the one scene that sticks out in my mind is Kirk and Spock on the bus.
Yep.
When he does the nerve pinch on the punk guy and everybody cheers.
I've never seen this one.
You've never seen
Voyage Home? This is like a childhood favorite. No. I would watch this all the time as a
never
kid.
Seen this. Chekhov falling off the ship and Bones getting all upset when they crack the guy open to do surgery. You savages!
Gotta check it out.
They're all great.
So
that was my three-way tie for number four.
All right. Jenny, what is your number four?
My number four was Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh.
Yep.
okay, so my number four is from 1984, and it is a movie called The Philadelphia Experiment. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Haven't.
I've never seen The Philadelphia Experiment, but I kind of feel like I need to.
It's Nancy Allen, Michael Perret, I think. And basically, it's... it takes place during 1943, and there's a U.S. naval destroyer that's they're kind of like trying this cloaking mechanism, you know, on the ship, and It was kind of, you know, it's loosely based on a true event that happened, that they were trying, they were actually trying this cloaking device on an actual ship. I forget what city, it was, I think this thing was in the like late 30s, early 40s, somewhere in the East Coast. And
it wasn't in Philadelphia?
No, it wasn't in Philadelphia. Okay. It wasn't in Philadelphia. It was
I'm just saying. It
might have
obvious
been,
choice.
It might have been like Boston. No, I don't know where it was. I don't know where it's at.
Okay.
It wasn't in Philadelphia. But the ship like spontaneously like not only like just it disintegrated. And they couldn't explain. And even now, like the way I found out about the true event was I saw it in like Seconds from Disaster. And they kind of like try to break it down what happened, what they speculate happened. It was a History Channel thing.
Hmm.
And the guy, the screenwriter, took that idea of a ship kind of like basically because some people say it disappeared. You know, that was the thing. And basically the screenwriter took that idea and basically set it in that the fact that it time traveled. It traveled into the future. So the movie starts off and there's like weird planes appearing out of nowhere from the and so there's like what happens is that the ship, the cloaking mechanism creates this like rip in time, and these two everyone jumps ship, by the way, except for these two sailors, and they are the ones that get sent forward in time. And like it's really, really well, I think well done for the 80s.
Does the ship travel in time?
No,
too?
It's just them two. Oh, okay. It's just them, those two guys, and they appear in the middle of the desert and they walk to the city. And it's the future, and like the cars are new, and you know when they left it was the 40s, and they get this girl they kind of kidnap, but she kind of starts believing them, and the Michael Perry's friend, the other sailor, he starts to kind of like he's like feel his body's in pain, and so they finally get him to the doctor, and he disappears, he disintegrates, and what happens is that he goes back to his timeline.
Okay.
In the 40s. So then no one kind of believes him, and the cops are after this guy, and he's got to find his friend the sailor in present time. So he's all old and he's all like traumatized because of the event and stuff, and he thought he dreamt it, but he shows up and he's like, shit, my friend's still young. And so it's really, really well done for the 80s, and you know, they got to figure out how to send him back.
This is not at all what I ever thought this movie was about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it has a little bit of 80s cheese. But it's really, I think, like, it's one of those movies where I'm like, ah, oh, fuck, like, it's such a good movie to remake and, it's like, set a period piece, you know, like, do it in the 40s and then take place in, you know, the 80s, the present time. And it's really well done. It was on instant streaming for a while. I don't know if it's still on there. But, yeah, it's called The Philadelphia Experiment. And I think it's well done. You just have to get over the 80s cheese and just accept that, hey, this movie was made in the 80s. But, really well done, well acted, I think.
Well, now I want to watch it. So. Yeah. Well played.
Awesome. That is my number four.
Cool. My number four is from 1995, and it's 12 Monkeys.
Yeah.
That's one of the one I was talking about that I was like, I obviously need to see this movie really bad. No, I haven't. I didn't even know what it was about.
Oh wow.
Yeah. You should watch La Jetée.
Yeah.
Before you watch 12 Monkeys.
Is it the same?
It's the original.
It's the short film that it was based off of.
Oh.
Yeah. It's really cool. And the whole movie's told through pictures.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's only 25 minutes. It's a short film, the original.
Okay.
Yeah. 12 Monkeys, awesome.
12 Monkeys is great.
Jerry Gilliam.
The writing is great. I love his whimsical score throughout it. Every actor is great. Brad Pitt is just phenomenal. You're just glued to him every time he's on screen, and just don't know what his character is going to do next, and just flip that switch.
It's really crazy.
Yeah. It looks great. Their use of time travel is great, and how no matter what they can do, they can't technically affect the future.
Yeah.
Or at least learn enough so they can, or change the past so they can change the future, but they just are too behind.
Yeah.
They can't figure it out fast enough and what needs to happen.
They can't catch up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's great. It looks great. It's just a really good, really good time travel movie.
Yeah. I really like this movie a lot.
Yeah.
It's Terry Gilliam again, and Brad Pitt and Bruce Willis. And the device it's like this, like, suit, right?
He wears that chamber thing.
Yeah. That's right.
The suit that you're thinking of is when he goes to explore.
Yeah. The outside.
Present time.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Either way, that was a cool suit too. It was really creepy.
It was very cool.
And then like the lion and like, oh, yes, really creepy.
And the the lion and just collecting all the insects like the spider and all
that. Yeah. It was really, really, really well done, I thought.
Mm-hmm. I do. I love 12 Monkeys, but I still just feel like I haven't seen it enough times for it to be my favorite.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
But I do love it. And it's an honorable mention.
It's great.
There's just so many more times. There are so many time travel movies I've seen more times than 12 Monkeys, as much as I do love it.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. All right. Number three.
Okay. So speaking of time travel movies I've seen more times than this, from 1981, I believe I also had this on my fantasy list, but I don't care. The Time Bandits.
Mm. Yeah.
Honorable mention. Yeah.
I just go back and listen to the fantasy episode, and everything I said then about this movie still applies. Sean Connery, again, Terry Gilliam directing. Yeah. I just found out about the ending of this movie, how they got away with the ending of this movie. I was listening to the Nerdist podcast. So, I mean, it could be something that they misheard, but I heard it from them. So if they misheard it, it's their fault. But how some people were annoyed by, like, the people, they did a screening, a test screening, and the audience was annoyed by something, and half of them left, and the half that stayed sarcastically put that their favorite part of the movie was the ending. And so the studio took it to mean that everybody really liked the ending, not that it was because the movie was over.
Wow.
And that's how they got away with the parents exploding when they touch pure evil.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
So that's
funny.
Yeah.
Sarcasm.
Yeah.
Sarcasm. Again, we need a sarcasm like form of printing. Okay?
Yeah.
Italics equals sarcastic.
Well, Sarcastica.
Sarcastica. There you go. Yeah. I like it. Sarcastic. You should get on that.
Yeah.
You're going to design a font.
Sarcastica. And yeah. That's the. I know. I don't like texting because you can't be sarcastic. but again, and then this is the device used for time travel.
They have the map of all the holes in the universe. Mm-hmm. For, like, from the, he's not called God. He's called something else. The Supreme Being.
Yes. Like a timekeeper. Or a timekeeper in this one.
Sort of.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah, so when he made the world, there were all these holes for his, like, time janitors to get through, to go from one time to the other. And they get fed up and they decide to take the map and use the holes and steal stuff from different time periods.
Nice.
And it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. And actual little people playing little people.
Nice.
John Cleese is in it. Again, Terry Gilliam, so you've got Monty Python alums in it.
Yeah.
I love the bits with Shelley Duvall and Michael Palin, especially when they go back to Robin Hood time. Oh, and then, again, part of the reason why I was on fantasy is because, so not only do they time travel, but then they kind of cross dimensions into the realm of fantasy.
Yeah.
It's, I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head now. Do you remember, Kevin?
I don't.
Like, the something about legend.
Yeah, that's
the time
right.
Of legends.
I remember.
Time
I remember
of legends,
this. Yeah,
I think
yeah,
is what it's called.
Yeah. This is Terry Gilliam section right here.
Yeah.
I like it.
He's great, and he does time travel really well.
Yeah. I hope he does another good movie. As they've been around, I felt like the last couple. I'm not a big fan of the last ones. Thailand. So, yeah. Jenny, what is your number three?
My number three is from 2004, and it's The Butterfly Effect.
Never seen this movie.
Haven't seen it.
It was actually surprisingly good.
Really?
I don't know that I would say it's one of my favorite time travel movies.
I think it's
but
more
I didn't hate it as
much
as I thought.
The time it came out, it was, that was my generation. I don't know. I that's what all of us were watching when I was, I guess, what year is that? That's like early high school. And so that's super like in my...
Your group.
What,
yeah.
Wait, what year
group,
was it?
2004.
Okay.
So... We were all watching it. We were all into Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah,
so
this was my uber
Amy,
pretentious face.
Amy Smart,
okay.
too.
So tell us a little plot. Give us a little bit of the story.
Okay, so it's this kid who, it's him growing up, and he can write down his, I'll just read the thing.
Yeah, read.
I can't. I'm not good at explaining things.
That's right.
Okay, a young man blocks out harmful memories of significant events of his life. As he grows up, he finds a way to remember these lost memories and a supernatural way to alter his life. So he wrote down, it's like he had a journal, and when he goes back to read it, it like messes with his brain, and then he goes back to those events. So the time travel thing is the notebook, I guess.
Oh, okay.
And so then when he reads it, he goes back in time and then he tries to alter the events so that it he's trying to end up with the girl in the end, because in the way that it ended up in the first place, he didn't end up with the girl, the love of his life, whatever. So he's trying to change things so that he does. And every time he changes one thing, something else goes wrong. And so he goes back, and then he goes back again to a different event to try to change something else. And then something goes wrong. Ends up like the way that he ends, it's like a super shitty life. And like, he's not going to end up with anything. And it's like one of those things where you're not supposed to go back and change the past.
Yeah. Cause you end up worse.
It's
worse.
That whole chaos theory thing.
Yeah.
Where that's the butterfly effect. Where
the actual butterfly effect. Yeah.
Flap six wings. But it's got some really, I was really surprised by how much I liked this movie.
Yeah.
Like shit gets fucked up really
quick
and really weird ways I did not see coming at all.
Oh yeah. No, these kids are like super fucked up. They like put a firework in lady's mailbox.
That's one of the major, because he keeps going back to the same moments he keeps trying to get back to the same moment, because a lot of it revolves around this prank that they played where this kid puts a firecracker in a woman's mailbox, and he keeps trying to stop it in different ways.
Oh.
And it just shows all these different ways it goes wrong and the ramifications that happen.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but just like he gets like maimed at one point.
God, yeah.
When he's trying to, he ends up in prison at one point, and he's trying to prove to someone that he's like magical. And so he flashes back to this. Okay. So someone steals his journal. And he can't get to, he doesn't have the pages he needs to get back to the time he needs to go back to. So someone needs to help him. And so he goes back to another time. He's like, all right, I'm going to prove to you that I'm magical. And he goes back to this time where he's in class and he slams both of his hands on those spikes that they use to hold paper holder, which is a spike.
Oh.
He slams both of his hands down. So when he goes back, he flashes back to the future. He's got like stigmata and the guy's like, oh shit, you are magical.
Yeah.
And it's just fucked up shit like that.
Oh, my God.
It's really entertaining. It's kind of cheesy, but fun. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Ashton Kutcher delivers.
He's really good in
this movie.
Yeah.
I was blown away. I was expecting a really shitty movie.
They did a sequel, too, I think. Part two.
Yeah, they did.
I think there's three of them.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. I haven't seen either of
those. I don't think
he's
in the other two.
Yeah. That's good. But, yeah, it's. I really like it.
I think it's a good pick.
It's a good one.
I've only seen it the one time, but I remember it very vividly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well. I gotta check it out. It's gonna be on the it's not gonna be on the Shameless, because I don't know.
It's not a Shameless movie.
Yeah, but it'll be on the list.
Amy Smart.
Yeah,
who plays the brother.
Isn't it Ethan Suplee?
Ethan Suplee's in it before he lost the weight as like a goth guy.
Oh wow.
But like Amy Smart's character's brother is like the source of all their trouble.
Lee Scott.
Is the younger one or the older one? Because that kid who plays the younger one.
Oh, yeah. What's the kid? I don't know.
The kid, they have good child actors.
His name's Jesse James.
There you go.
I don't know him.
I got to check this out. And this is your number three.
Oh, and Logan Lerman is Ashton Kutcher younger.
Okay.
Letterman.
No, yeah. Lerman.
Oh.
No.
I don't know.
You just want to see Chris McGovern try to kick Letterman in the head again.
Oh, he was Percy Jackson. That's where I know him from. He's Percy Jackson. Yeah.
Okay. Cool pick. And the device is a notebook, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. My number three is from 2004. I know Kevin might have this on this list, and it is Primer.
No, because I had it on my sci-fi list. So
okay.
That's another one that I keep thinking I need to watch. Primer, is that on Netflix yet?
No.
Nope.
It's not on streaming. It's a really cool movie. Have you all three of you have seen it?
I've seen it. I talked about this last time.
Yeah,
it just made me feel stupid.
Yeah.
I haven't read Foucault's, or however you say it. I don't even know how to say Foucault, if I'm saying it right. Yeah. Foucault? How do you say that guy's name? F-O-C-C-A?
I don't know. I go with Foucault. Yeah, Foucault.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I haven't read any of his stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't go to Harvard or Stanford or Princeton. I don't like math and science, really. I like English. So the movie was just like, it was like a math class at the time. Because I saw, what year did it come out?
2004.
Okay. Yeah. So I might have been in my same year as Butterfly Effect. I was in my pretentious period, but this movie was way over my head still.
This is my pretentious period as well, but I adopted this movie. I kept convincing people, you got to see this fucking movie. This is an amazing, incredible movie that doesn't have special effects. It's simple. It's like, and really, it's really smart. And I think that's why I think it didn't,
it lost a lot of people was the fact that sometimes it's a little too smart for itself.
It was too smart for me at the time.
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't know what you're talking about. You talk funny.
Yeah.
Do smaller words. Talking about geometry and quantum physics.
And just the way it's shot, too. It's very simple and like, it just, the pacing of it is good and just the way it ends.
I love the story behind them making the movie. That was what kind of sucked me in, how like all the guy, like he went and bought out the filmmaker's handbook that the book that they used in at LSCC, the cinema book that they use. They just bought that and they used that to make a movie. Yeah. And I thought that was amazing. Yeah. I love the impetus behind making the movie more than I loved the movie the one time I saw it. It's on my list of movies. It's on my shame list.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like I need to rewatch it and appreciate it more.
I'm going to start, now it's summer and Game of Thrones over, I think I'm going to start having movie night, and I think that should be on the list of movies to see.
Yeah.
Because it's really, really fun. And
that and Butterfly Effect.
Yeah.
And Philadelphia Experiment.
Yes. Triple feature.
Oh, yeah.
It's just really well done, and it's simple, and the device, it's just a simple device. Like, mm-hmm. just a little chamber they go into, and...
I like what happens, like, when they're not talking about the science of it, and, like, shit's going down, I liked that part. Like, the whole duplicitous, deceivious, like, shit that they do to themselves.
Oh, yeah.
That's creepy. Like, another sci-fi or time travel movie that makes me not want to run into myself.
and the writer-director...
Shane Carruth.
Yeah, Shane Carruth. And Shane Carruth, I think. Is that how you say his name? Shane, yeah, Carruth.
He's the guy that helped Ryan Johnson
for Looper. Yeah, yeah. And
I'm guessing Kevin does not have that on his list either.
Nope.
Because we didn't see it.
Nope.
And he hasn't directed a movie since then. And he has a movie slated for this year, I think. But he hasn't literally done any directing. And I thought it was really well directed.
It was.
He did the directing, cinematography, score, everything.
It looked really good.
His mom did the catering.
That's right.
Like, honestly, it was just the science talk was just over my head.
Yeah.
And that's understandable. And
I just feel stupid saying science talk.
And I could see myself at times going, okay, I'm getting a little confused about what they're talking about, but I was still so thoroughly engaged that I just go with the movie.
Yeah.
That I'm like,
that was my thing.
I don't know exactly how they're doing it, and I could never do this myself, but...
I feel like that science jargon is a specific vernacular that I don't have a grasp of. Okay, so another example of it, because they talk really fast.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it reminds me of like His Girl Friday, but I'm familiar with publishing and journalism and that sort of, and they can speak quickly and I can follow things. But when you start bringing quantum physics into it, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, see, I think for me it was like, I trust that these guys are smart. The filmmakers are smart enough to that I trust what they're saying is true. Like, or that I'm going to believe in it. You know what I mean? And I just had I think once you let go, like, okay, I don't understand physics, but I gotta let go.
It's not even a matter of understanding it. It's a matter of once you start talking about it, my brain's like, I'm going to go somewhere else now.
Yeah.
I don't really care about this.
Yeah. I think the fact that how they made the movie, the shots and the cinematography is so engaging that that's what I think also kept me like, oh, okay, I'm on board. But yeah, if you get a chance, it's Primer. Check it out. It's really well done.
It is. It's really good.
Yeah. And I think it was like how much? I think it was like under 17, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like, I think it was actually around 17 or 16.
$16,000 budget. So amazing movie for that budget. Cool. Where are we at? You?
Okay. So my number three.
Yeah.
It's from 1993. And it's, I was glad that we decided to do time travel films because this film was going to be on my romantic comedies list, but I wasn't here. So I'm going with Groundhog Day.
Ooh, nice.
That's my number one.
See, okay. I know it kept popping up on time travel list, but I mean, something about it doesn't feel like...
There's no device, but he is technically going back in time. He's just on a loop.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It's funny because that was a gray area. I was just talking to somebody before we did the podcast. And we're talking about that gray area where it's like, is it time travel? Like, the Woody Allen movie.
Midnight in Paris.
Is that a time travel movie?
Well, that is.
Yes.
Because there's a device.
There's a car.
I guess so.
And it's not repeating. It's not going back to the same thing over and over again.
It's the same time period.
I love Groundhog Day. But I just, I couldn't, like, it's not even an honorable mention because in my mind, it's just
you
not.
You couldn't justify the time travel.
Yeah, I'm like, it doesn't, it's like magic, it's just magic to me. It's not time travel. But I'm not going to be like, I can't believe you have this on your list. It kept popping up.
No, let's just move on. Let's go on to number three, okay? I mean, it's not time travel.
And it's funny, and
I'm glad you brought your parade for me to rain on.
Yeah.
Bill Murray's fantastic
in
this. I have a lot of fun with it, and I like the love story. I like how his character arc, and I like all the different things that he tries to do when he decides to be a glutton and eat everything on the table. When he tries to sleep with all these different women and how he does it. Awesome. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And
he devotes his time to playing Jeopardy.
Yes. a young Michael Shannon, a really happy Michael Shannon. Yeah.
I forgot about that. Who else is in this? Who's the love?
Andy McDowell.
Yeah. Yep.
Chris Elliott as the cameraman.
That's right.
Yeah. Which other Murray? Not
Madman Murray? No, right?
Madman Murray?
No, it's not that Murray. Brian Doyle.
Brian Doyle Murray.
Yeah.
Who I do really like also.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, I guess there's just something missing in my brain where, like, because I mean, I know he's traveling back to this. It's just weird. I don't know what it counts
so, as. If he would travel back, but he didn't do it on a loop, it just happened once, would you be okay with that?
Well, I mean, I don't know why it doesn't compute for me. Because it does. He is traveling back at the same time, but it just feels... It doesn't feel like time travel so much as just he's stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's in purgatory.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. But it's still so fun that I think... I wouldn't put it on my time travel list, but I don't fault anybody for putting it.
It could just be me rationalizing not having it on my list because I wanted to have it. Because there's so many movies that I want to include. Like, I've got 15 movies here, and I've got to pick 5. So I was like, well, that's one. I'll just be like, that doesn't count. So you can pick it, and I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Looks accepted.
I love the part where he robs the bank.
Yes.
Which was originally the beginning. That was where it started. Have you watched special features?
I haven't watched special features.
The special features on the DVD. So originally, it was a much darker script. It was a lot darker. And it starts where it doesn't explain anything. Like, he just knows what's happening. It starts with a bank robbery, and he's like, gust of wind. So-and-so drops their change. And, like, he just knows what's happening. And then, like, it kind of flashes back and forth, so you figure out what's happening slowly.
Interesting.
And then Harold Ramis kind of came and put it in the way that it is now.
Okay.
But, yeah, it started off much darker, and we didn't know what was happening right away.
Oh, well.
That's but I love the robbery still. The robbery is essentially the same as it was originally. It's just not in the beginning now. Mm-hmm. And I love that part.
Oh, it's like, so good.
He drops the chains. Doris checks her cleavage.
Yep.
And he knows the conversation that they're having. Or when he runs to save the kid. It's a great movie.
I never get a thank you.
Yes. Yes. I'm glad that you picked it. Yeah. So I knew someone would.
Yeah. Me too. Well, Jenny apparently did too.
Yeah. I mean, that's her favorite.
Yeah. It's your number one?
Yep.
All right.
That makes sense. I guess if I had a heart, it would be number one, too. Well,
For me, there was no device. No device, no sale.
The time, the alarm clock is his device.
I guess so, yeah.
Whenever it falls down.
Yeah, yeah.
What number are we on now?
Two. What's your number two?
I don't want to do this anymore. Can we just skip? Can we just talk about Groundhog Day more? Did I have Terminator on my list already?
Yeah.
At some point?
Yeah. No. I don't think so.
For sci-fi?
I know we've had it.
Did I have it on for sci-fi?
I know I did. My two and my number one.
I remember I had it
on. Are the exact same from sci-fi.
There are just
I'm
too
okay
many.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm just going to say Terminator because I don't remember.
Okay.
I've got honorable mentions.
Terminator's number two, so.
Okay. So we're right there.
This is good.
We're cutting down.
Yeah.
How many times can we talk about Terminator?
Mm. Oh,
not
yeah.
enough.
Not enough.
I feel.
Not Terminator 2, as much as I enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm talking about Terminator 1.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love the original Terminator. Again, it comes down to horror versus action. This is scarier than Terminator 2.
Yep.
Oh, definitely.
And and then I also like the human element where you've got a human versus a machine, where it's not two machines.
Yes.
And I just really love Michael. We how many times have we said we love Michael Bain? Or Bean? I always forget what we decided.
I don't think enough.
Yeah, we don't do it
however
enough.
We say his name, and however many times we say we love him,
Michael
it's
Bean.
Not enough.
Michael Bean.
Michael Bean. He's awesome. I love him as Reese.
Oh, he's so good as Reese.
He's... This was also in my I think it was in my sex scenes as well. It might have been.
Yes, it was. Yeah. In your sex scenes.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I've had it more than once and more than twice. I just love this movie. It's I always fought with this, like, well, if he hadn't, how was he born?
Yeah.
You know, I always had that, like, it
how are you born if you have to send your father back in time for you to be born?
Boggles the mind, but I accept it, and because it's just such a cool horror, like, it just, so awesome. And, like, when he takes his eye out, and when he's, like, the arm, he has a hole in his arm.
Yep.
Everything's just so scary. The Terminator view when you're seeing like and he's like
yeah we've seen the computer
yeah and like, he's like processing
possible
yeah like fuck, yeah, you,
fuck
asshole.
You asshole I watched this movie far too young
yeah
me this too. Was one of those VHS tapes that I ran down well, and I was always confused between this and Predator, which I'm sure I've said at some other point.
I don't think you have
either.
Really,
why are you confused?
When I was a kid.
Yo, does he fuck the Predator?
No.
Does Michael Biehn fuck the Predator?
Because Schwarzenegger's in both.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I could never... I was like, all right, wait. So do I want to watch the Predator or do I want to watch the Terminator? Yeah. I don't remember. Like, I didn't know which one scared me more. I would always forget which one scared me more and which one I wanted to watch.
Yes. Well, for me, it was Lynn Hamilton.
And then eventually...
Yep.
Okay, well, see, I was watching this before I cared about sex scenes.
Mm.
Like, really young. Far too young.
Yeah.
But when we finally bought it. And so I was like, all right, so I know it's Terminator because that's the one that we own.
Yeah.
And then also, again, I'm just going to blaspheme here because I can. I prefer Predator 2 to Predator anyway. So that doesn't...
Really?
That's neither here nor there.
Okay. That's right here or there.
But yeah.
Well, questionable. Are Predators time travelers?
They're Time Lords.
They're Time Lords. Yes.
That's the thing. In Predator 2, they have that T-Rex.
Their ship is a TARDIS.
They could be. Well, the thing is, in Predator 2, remember they have the T-Rex skull?
Oh, yeah. Well, I just felt like maybe they were omnipresent. Present. Like, they've just been around forever.
They've just been... Their civilization...
Well, I mean, and also, if you're going to go by that shitty Alien versus Predator, they've been coming to Earth forever to hunt. And, like, they built pyramids and shit to hunt and harvest aliens.
I don't know.
But aliens at the center of Antarctica this whole time, really? And nobody ever...
Yeah.
No.
No.
Fuck that movie. I do like the second one, though. Alien vs. Predator Requiem.
Yes, I did like it.
That one's rated R.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the other one wasn't.
Yes.
And it had a whole,
more, like,
it had a whole Agent Coulson element to it, which I really liked.
Yes. Yes, it did.
I'm still waiting for the third one, though.
Also, Alien Predator 2, I just dug that fact that you saw that those skulls, and there was, like, an alien skull, too.
Yes.
And I don't ever need an Alien vs. Predator movie, because my imagination was enough.
Yeah.
Just, like, imagining, like... Fuck, these guys time traveled to alien times.
Well, I feel like they had done the comics also long before they did the movie. I didn't have Alien vs. Predator, the comic book, but I had RoboCop versus Terminator.
Yeah.
Which was, I mean, you think you don't need it.
Oh, you need
but to have the comic book is kind of amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was robot on robot crime.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Terminator.
Terminator.
With its weird, nonsensical, how are you born if you have to send your father back in time?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it also spawns one of my favorite episodes of South Park, the Trapper Keeper episode.
Yes.
And it's just well done. Top-notch acting all around, not like part two, where it's a little spotty with Edward Furlong.
It's not even his acting. I just feel like he needed a better... He needed a better dialogue coach.
Yeah.
I had to make sure I said that clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
He needed to work on his diction.
Yeah. But part one, just like all the great character actors, Lance Hendrickson is in it. Bill Paxton in the beginning.
I had to think.
He's the cop.
Yeah, I remember now.
And Lance Hendrickson was originally going to be the Terminator.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In the special features on the Blu-ray, he talks, and he even drew posters with Lance Hendrickson as the Terminator.
That would have been a... Why did they... I mean, did they want someone bigger?
He eventually met Arnold and he's like, oh, wow, this is... He's so huge. Like, that's how they would make... The robot would fit in his body, you know? Because if you notice, the other Terminator in the flashback is really big, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really, like, buff guy. Right. So it makes more sense that the robot would be bigger and it would need a bigger body.
Well, yeah, I don't... as much as I like Lance Henriksen, I don't foresee them making many, like... Average Joe.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And also, we need a Terminator to run the computer.
Also, the poster too for that one that they show in the special features was a really dark and looked like more like a horror movie, more than it was. Yeah.
Really.
So I'm like,
that makes sense. As much as I like Lance Henriksen, like the years before I finally saw Pumpkinhead, he scared me more than Pumpkinhead scared me on the cover for that video. Yeah.
Near Dark.
Forget about it.
Even though he's a good guy in Aliens, Bishop, he's just
creepy.
He's very creepy. Like that unnatural quality to him.
One of my friends worked on the B version of National Treasure.
Okay.
So like, you know how for every movie there's
a B movie. I already thought the National Treasure was the B version of like Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I guess so. So she worked on the C
version. So the C version of Tomb Raider.
It was and it starred C. Thomas Howell.
I would take National Treasure over Tomb Raider.
C. Thomas Howell and Lance Hendrickson.
Okay.
And she got to be Lance Hendrickson's like second in command. And I was like, damn you.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? There's this movie, Dying God, that was on Netflix for a while that Lance Henriksen is in. And it's just a weird movie that was made in like Brazil. And Lance Henriksen is in it. And then Misty Monday, I think, the porn star. She's really? In, like, Spider-Man, a Spider-Girl, like porn parodies. It's such a bizarre movie. And like there's the main actor is like a guy who does video games all the time. If you can find a copy of Dying God, just watch it. It's fucked up and it's wrong and it's disturbing. It doesn't really make any sense, but it's an interesting watch.
Yeah, yeah. Jenny, finally after our hour rant on Terminator, I'm sorry. You're like, boring.
No, I love Terminator. I'm not very well versed on that as you guys. You're like, are.
I'm not versed on.
I'm learning. Okay.
Before we move on, though, Paul Winfield.
Yes.
Yep.
Rick Rossovich.
Yeah.
And Brian Thompson. Brian Thompson. Yeah. Is it Brian or Ryan?
Brian, I think. Brian or Ryan.
And we said Bill Paxton, the only man who's been killed by the Predator, Terminator, and Aliens.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. It's exactly, you're right. Hmm. And he just needs Robocop to kill him. Maybe he'll be the new one.
Yeah.
He'll be Lawrence.
Clarence. Clarence Bodiger.
Yeah.
Clarence. Bill Paxton is Clarence Bodiger.
Yeah. I'd dig that.
That'd be cool.
I can get behind that.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah. Jenny.
Oh, what number are we on?
I think we're number 2.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Okay.
We talked for a long fucking time.
I got confused. All right, my number 2 is from 1989, and it's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome.
Yes. And
I did it.
Thank you for doing it.
The machine is a telephone, which now that...
A telephone booth. Not just a telephone.
A telephone, yeah. It's
which
just
is a little,
no, telephone, no, Ricardo.
It's a little like Doctor Who-ish.
Yeah.
But they were inspired by Doctor Who.
Were they? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Totally.
I mean, that's what I heard back in the day, that they were inspired by... They were Doctor Who fans, and that's why it's a telephone booth.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't know about Doctor Who back then.
It's a really...
I didn't either.
I didn't know about Doctor Who.
I knew about Doctor Who.
Like,
okay.
No, until like a month ago. Michelle got super obsessed with it.
She's like, I loved it. And then she watches like my girlfriend.
She's Michelle. Not in the room this time.
No, she's not. Michelle will watch... She's now watched like the Andy Tennant and the last three, I guess, Doctors. But now she's even going to like the old school, like almost like black and white stuff. And
well,
I'm like,
what
are you doing?
You can go to back to the '60s because you can't get the original. Like it's lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's going as early as she can go. Right. And I'm like, sometimes I walk in, I'm like, what is this? This looks like really horrible British. Like
it's like her crack.
Yeah. She's like, I'm watching.
I just got to do one more. Yeah. One more hit.
Well, that's where the timey wimey. Wibbly wobbly quote comes from, which is such a she kept telling me to watch that episode, and I finally did, and it's great.
Yeah, I haven't watched it, so
nope.
But we're not talking about Doctor Who. We're talking about Bill and Ted.
Yes,
yeah, I do love Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted's great.
Yes,
but
okay,
I like Bogus Journey better.
Hmm,
I haven't seen that one enough. I've only seen that one once, and I've seen Excellent Adventure a shit ton.
Again, this comes back to my parents being weird as far as their video purchases. We only had Bill and Ted Bogus Journey. So I watched this one. I watched that one all the time.
Oh, wow.
And then, I mean...
We prefer the sequel much better.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Interesting.
William Sadler is
William Sadler is great.
But this one...
Oh, yeah.
Did I? Okay, it's fine.
Is George Carlin in the second one?
He's in both of them.
Okay, I couldn't remember. Okay.
Well, I even remember watching the TV show for a little bit.
I didn't even know there was a TV show.
Oh, there was a Bill and Ted TV show.
Was it animated?
There was an animated and there was a live action.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember the live action.
There was a live action.
Either
that or I'm just crazy. But I swear to God,
crazy.
There was a live action Bill and Ted TV show.
It's your second whale turkey. But yeah, this movie's fun. And I hope Keanu Reeves keeps teasing that he's in for the part 3.
Really?
And so is the other guy. And
God,
I think
they're so old though now.
That'd be kind of cool though. Like it'd be interesting.
I don't know.
Like they're like to see how, like nervous. How those slackers ended up.
Every time I pass the Circle K, though, I think of Bill and Ted. I'm like, where are the Circle K's at? I need more Circle K's in my life.
Are there Circle K's in
Georgia? Yeah, I passed. Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say out here.
Yeah, out here.
Yeah, I passed.
Strange things are like the Circle K this night. Yeah, no, I'm not crazy.
Bill and Ted, live action. That happened.
Okay.
Oh, that's amazing.
Now,
1992.
Now, let me ask you something. You guys were talking about LA stuff. I was just thinking about Circle K's and I was thinking of, does this count as a time travel movie? Encino Man. When somebody gets frozen in time.
I don't count.
The device
getting
is freezing. Freezing.
I don't count that.
You skip time. How is that not time travel?
I would probably count Encino Man.
Okay, well then technically every movie is time travel because we're traveling through time right now.
I am.
So.
I guess you're right. But I mean, he skips many years.
Yeah, it's like a guy from the past coming into the future.
A caveman, bro.
That's like, he's like in a different era.
Yeah, no, I understand.
He's from Stone Age.
Do you understand what's going on? So it's a caveman in today's world.
Wait, like unfrozen caveman lawyer? Yeah, no, I get it. I didn't include, because I mean, then I guess I could have done the 1990 whatever Captain America movie.
You could have.
Or Captain America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it
the first Avenger, because he time travels.
All right.
According to your freezing.
Freezing. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So
we won't.
Count.
We won't.
What else gets frozen?
You could do any of the Alien or Alien films. They're all cryogenically frozen.
Oh, yeah.
Move through space.
Mm. You're right. You're right. Yeah. You're right. All right. Let's not count them.
All right.
That's a different category.
I'm just saying.
What a good choice. And I'm waiting for part 3.
Yeah.
That's such an awesome. Wild Stallions. Yes.
I love it. I love when they go to Waterloo.
Yes.
I love the...
Well, Napoleon. Napoleon's just...
What's Napoleon his face is really great. Into Twinkies.
Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
Yes. Billy the... I love when Joan of Arc takes aerobics.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great movie, and
it's
I do love
so
it.
It's so funny.
But again, I don't know what it is with my parents and showing me the second movie before the first movie. Or I guess it's not... I can't even put it on them, really, because it was just what was on TV.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The second one was on more, and so I asked them to buy me the second one instead of the first one.
I should watch it more.
But I do remember the TV series.
I own
series,
this one. I don't know
the cartoon and the live action. That was my problem for the longest time, was that the TV series and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure kind of blended in my mind, where I'm like, oh, I kept waiting for things to happen that didn't happen when I was rewatching Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, because they happened in the TV show, not in the movie.
Interesting.
I'm just loopy up here in the head.
Yeah, he's been drinking.
Only had two.
Yeah. Also, since we brought it up.
No, I didn't start drinking until I got here. I couldn't go in my house. My house is being fogged.
Another movie that you guys should check out if you liked Encino Man.
Oh, we're going back to Frozen.
Yeah, just real quick. There's a movie called A Ghost Warrior, and it's about a samurai that gets he falls into the ice, right? And he gets frozen, and he the ice literally travels to like New York. No, I'm sorry, L.A. And he gets he thaws out, and he's in like modern time L.A. It's an '80s movie. Came out in '86. And he's like trying to deal with like cars and like it's really crazy.
You've seen this movie?
I've seen this movie. My grandfather owned it. Wow. My grandfather owned it.
Well played.
And it's really crazy. You guys got to check it out. It's pretty sad at the end. Spoiler alert.
Hey.
Whoa! No, all right.
Sorry.
Okay, go ahead. I can't hear now.
No. I won't say anything. Check it out. It's really like cheesy, but it's a samurai frozen in time. It's like Encino Man, but with a samurai.
And sold.
Yeah.
If I was an executive, we'd be making that movie right now.
And the funny thing is that he appears in L.A. in like the 80s, which is their present time.
What's it called?
Ghost Warrior.
Oh.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like what that movie should be called at all.
Yeah. Not at all.
You know what also, too? It might have a different title because it has two titles. I'll make sure I put the link on because it's streaming on Netflix, by the way. I just found it because for a long time I didn't know the name of it, but I found out that they changed the name of it. I think when it came out on DVD.
There's another one of my movies that would be on my list.
They do that sometimes.
No, but it's not even that they changed the name. I don't know what it's called. Oh, wow. I cannot remember what this movie's called.
We'll talk about it in the honorable mentions because that maybe you could find it.
I hope so. I hope someone somewhere knows
what this is. So yours is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Mm-hmm. Mine was Terminator 1. So it's to Kevin part.
Your number two.
Okay, so my number two is from 2007. It's streaming on Netflix right now, and it's called Time Crimes.
Honorable mention.
The Spanish one?
Yep.
I never saw that. Was it good?
Really?
It's great.
Didn't see it. It's real. Wait, okay, hold on. It's Spanish, and it's about time travel.
I know. I thought sorry, you would have seen this.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's scary.
It's
and
scary.
Fun.
Is it me or the lead come out in Nine Queens, the other Spanish movie? Well, anyway, we'll find out. But so what's this about? Without spoiling anything.
And then he uses a chamber.
Yes, he uses a chamber that fills with liquid.
Hmm.
Yeah. So basic story is an older gentleman, Hector, happens to be hanging out in his backyard, and he sees something weird going on. And when he goes to inspect it, this guy with bandages wrapped around his face starts chasing him, and he chases him into this building that he thought was abandoned. And this guy has a chamber. He's like, get inside and hide. If you get inside and hide, the guy won't find you. Just get inside and hide. And when he gets inside, he shoots him back an hour in time. So he put him inside the time machine. And the way the writing's done, it shows you how he has kind of affected his own timeline. And it's just, it's really, really well written and how he keeps kind of going back in time an hour just to kind of fix things that he already screwed up. But it's a lot of fun. It's really creepy, especially when you don't know who the guy with the bandages on his face and he looks really creepy.
Oh, wow.
Like Dark Man?
Yes.
Really? I'm a fan of Dark Man.
Yeah, dude, if Dark Man shows up and starts chasing you through the forest, yeah. You will get into a chamber if some guy tells you you'll get away from it.
But it's also, again, like you were saying with Primer and like coming in contact with yourself and seeing how dark and how kind of you can play with yourself in a way. You can like mess with yourself and almost kill yourself. And it gets really dark and kind of creepy.
So without spoiling anything, but some of the things he has to go through because he knows what happens is like, oh shit, I have to do this. But just him trying to, not getting it right. Like, his process and finally getting to the right moment. I love that moment.
That one scene where he kept going through the woods. And
Where he's like, all right, I know I have to do this, but I don't know when or where it's going to work. So he has to keep doing the same thing over and over again until it's like, oh, that was the right moment.
Yep.
Wow.
It's really smart. I really like the way they play with time in this.
It's on Netflix.
They do such a great
job. It's on Netflix. It is on Netflix?
It is on Netflix right now, And the ending is awesome.
That's one of my biggest problems with time travel movies, when it's like, when you get to a point like, well, you just mess with your own timeline. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't make sense.
But they do it so...
They do it very smartly.
The writing is amazing in this movie, and the directing. It's just, it's so well put together.
Well, and they do an interesting thing, which I... Maybe it's my two drinks where I can't think of anything. But normally I feel like everyone starts you at the beginning of a timeline, not in the middle of a timeline.
Yes.
I hope I didn't spoil something by saying that.
No, I don't think
you did. But it's like you don't have to start at when the time travel first happens. Like, you can be in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, what just happened? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's fun to play. The way they play around with it is really fun.
Excellent.
I can't believe you haven't seen it, Ricardo.
I know. And it's funny because
that should be on your shame list.
I forgot because I remember it's on my queue. Now that I remember, and the cover is just the guy with the bandages, right?
Yes.
Then yes, it's on my queue. I just haven't seen it.
And the scissors. Scissors are creepy, but without actually even really doing anything. It's really good and kind of makes your skin crawl without doing anything.
I'll check it out. Excellent. Number two. Now we're down to number one.
Okay, so.
Let's do a recap.
To recap, my number five was Time Machine from 1960, not from 2002. 1960 Rod Taylor Time Machine. Yeah. My number four was a three-way tie, Star Trek from 2009, Star Trek First Contact from 1996, and Star Trek The Voyage Home from, I can't remember when, 1986. My number three was Time Bandits, which I'm sure will pop up at some other, if we ever do a list of favorite movies with little people in them, probably will be there too. My number two was The Terminator from 1984, and my number one, Old Faithful. I'm surprised. I guess maybe it's other people's. No, it's not. We've crossed over at the number
one. This is my number one as well.
Okay, Back to the Future.
Yep, my number one.
Okay.
And I like Honorable Ricardo, mentions. 1, 3, 2.
Yeah.
I go 1, 2, 3. And for a while it was 2, but like I know you brought this up before on the show where you said when I was younger it was always this one, but as I got older it became 1. So 2 was my favorite, and then as I got older I just started appreciating 1 more and more.
I love these movies. I'm glad you guys all brought them up.
Yeah.
Because I didn't.
again, it was one of those weird, like the ones that we owned. But, well, no. So this is one series where I owned them all in order. I had one, then I had two, then I had three. And but I did love two because of, like, the Jaws, 3D Jaws, mm-hmm. and the shoes.
The shoes, the hoverboard.
The hoverboard. Yeah. And just, like, the going back to one. But I did, even as much as I loved two, I feel like I watched one more than I really realized. Because I just grew up watching one.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I just vividly remember Marty going into docks and plugging into the amp and shit going wrong.
I've always talked about this, guys, and I'll continue to talk about this. The one thing that creeps me out about this movie is, what the hell is a high school kid hanging out with this weird guy in the middle of the night?
Oh, and when he goes down to the mall?
Well, 2 in the morning. 1 in the morning.
One in the morning.
Well, he's
in high school. It's a school night.
I always thought that that looked like the mall by my house. I'm like, they're like right outside my house, right? Like, they're down the street. I could go there and see them in the driveway.
Coincidentally, shot in a mall by my house. And the mall's still there, and you could still, I think JCPenney's is still there. Some stores, there's like two major stores that changed, but JCPenney's is still there.
Well, so. Robinson's May isn't around anymore. That's Macy's now?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
Robinson's May May Company.
If you're in California and you want to visit the place, it's in the city of La Puente, and it's the Puente Hills Mall.
Sweet.
You have a lot of people sometimes. Like, you're all taking pictures and you're like, oh,
and if
the
you
want to
see the, whatchamacallit, the, what was the name of their estates?
The Twin, Twin Pick. Peaks?
No, that's Twin Peaks. Yeah, Twin Peaks is Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Twin Valley? Valley something? Their city, right? You're talking about?
Well, no, because they had those two lion things or whatever.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
entrance to the community.
Hill Valley. Yeah, sorry, guys. Yep. Somebody out there, like Brian with a Y, is like,
Hill Valley!
Yeah.
You can see those at Universal.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless they burnt down. I hope they didn't.
That'd be sad. The two pillars didn't burn down, but the town square did burn down. Where the clock tower was.
The clock tower?
That burned down.
That burned down?
Yeah. Sucks.
It's gone?
I think they rebuilt it, okay, but it's rebuilt. It's not the original.
Well, I saw the original. So.
Yeah, I did too.
I feel cool about that.
But I'm glad you guys put it on the list. And all three of these movies could have been like three, you know, one, two, and three picks. So
yeah.
Cool.
I thought about doing that.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, another three-way tie. I love them all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They all go great together.
Yeah.
The only problem with two and three is that Crispin Glover's not in them.
The only problem with one is that this creepy scientist guy is hanging out with the kid at 2 in the morning. Just saying.
I think I owned all three at the same time. I bought the trilogy. So.
Oh, well, so my parents did.
Because I bought them on DVD. I didn't even ever have them on VHS.
Okay, wow.
Didn't. I don't know if Michelle probably might have.
We were on big on the whole taping a movie whenever we had the HBO.
Oh, right.
So
that's how I got all three of them.
I would record. You'd have to record three because you could put it on long play.
Yes.
And then record three movies.
Yeah.
And the quality was not as good.
It's not. Really,
but still, you're like, I could fit three. And I have a lot of tapes with three movies.
You know what's fun, though, to go back and look at those tapes and see the three movies you have together. Yeah. Like, what are these three movies doing on the same tape?
Yeah.
It's like, I've got The Distinguished Gentleman, Gia, and I can't even think of the third one. Something bizarre.
Yeah, and the thing is that it was like a mixtape of movies.
Yeah, it's like, what?
But random stuff, because you never were like, oh, I'm going to put, you never thought of putting, grouping three movies together.
I can think of one. Chasing Amy, Con Air, Jerry Maguire.
Yes.
Wow.
On the same tape.
Well.
Good. And there it is.
The trick is to kind of know how long was this movie, and IMDb kind of wasn't that big. Well, internet wasn't around.
I did not have internet access.
It would be like
IMDb.
I would be like, okay, rounding off 2 hours, maybe less. So then you're like, too much.
I just had to hope for the best.
Yeah, yeah.
I was never planning. I was just hoping for the best.
Sometimes you'd want to see the second movie, and you'd forward it, but just not enough. And you're like, oh, I like this part of this first movie. I'm going to keep watching this. So you'd have to watch like the last quarter of the first movie because it was in a good scene.
I think I just thought of another one. Okay. Ghostbusters, Time Bandits, Baby. You guys remember Baby about the dinosaur?
Yes.
I do remember that. Yes.
You know what's creepy too is if you wanted to watch a trilogy, like the Back to the Future trilogy, it was all on different tapes.
Oh, yeah.
It was never one tape.
Well, okay, the one I had Empire and Jedi on the same tape.
Well, that was lucky.
That was before I started recording. My dad or my mom. I'm guessing my dad did that.
Yeah. And sometimes you'd be like, I got to delete one. But you always had to delete the end of the third one.
To
record one.
The one movie I remember deleting vividly because I never heard the end of it because I taped over the. In my defense, it was the colorized version of King Kong.
Oh, your dad?
Yeah. He gave me shit because I recorded the colorized version.
He's like, they don't make this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, for good reason. It's supposed to be in black and white. You're not supposed to colorize old black and white movies.
All right.
He didn't appreciate my recording. John Leguizamo's freak over the colorized version of King Kong.
He's a freak. You're a freak. All right. So we're recapping number one, Jenny.
Okay. Did you go? Oh, yeah, you went.
I did.
Okay.
It was Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, my number five was Back to the Future Part 2, but it's really all three of them. Number four, Hot Tub Time Machine, 3, Butterfly Effect, 2, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and my number one was Groundhog Day.
Ooh, cool. All right.
Time travel movies.
Yes.
Well done.
I don't know why that was funny.
Time travel movies. Not frozen in time. That
sounds like what that movie, the samurai movie, should be called. Frozen in Time.
It should have been called that. Number five, Time Cop. Number four, The Philadelphia Experiment. Number three, Primer. Number two, The Terminator. Actually, my number two, my number one are just flip flop from my sci-fi list. And my number one is Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
I love this movie, and it's one. I mean, it's written by Rod Serling, and so it's a really long Twilight Zone episode that has a crazy twist ending at the end.
I do love it, but the reason I didn't put it on is because it's like you don't know that it's time travel until the end.
Well, that's what's so great about it, and that's why I think the time travel thing works so well, because you're like, what the? No.
You bastards. Yeah.
And
I love the movie.
Yeah, and I loved the reboot, not the reworking of the prequel,
Rise
of the Planet of the Apes.
Rise, not the remake.
Yeah, no, it's not a remake. It's a prequel, and they got Scott C. Burns to do the sequel. And I'm hoping part three will be a remake of
The sequel to
the prequel
to the prequel.
Yes.
And then my head explodes.
Yes. So I'm hoping like the part two will be about the plague, that plague man.
I thought that's what the credits were about.
Yeah, but I think they're going to delve into it and like the survivors and stuff. And how it's going to be about the rise of the apes.
But this one was about the rise of the apes.
Yeah, but they went and had
this
the
hit. But going to be about the rise, developing
more
society.
Rising.
Yeah,
apes rise again.
As a society.
They rise.
Yeah.
More
it's,
rising.
It's dawn of the apes. It's dawn of the planet of the apes.
Risering?
Yeah. The re-rising. The re-rising. Insurrection. But yeah, it's my number one, and I love the writer, and it's a cool movie. Love the movie.
Cool. Okay, so my number five was Hot Tub Time Machine, 4, 12 Monkeys, 3, Groundhog Day, 2, Time Crimes, and number one was Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Nice.
Awesome. It worked kind of nicely. Mm-hmm. Except for Jenny. She got screwed out of her Groundhog Day.
That's whatever.
Yeah. Whoa. All right. Is that it? Honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions.
All right.
I got a couple. I think everything else has been mentioned for the most part, except, wait. Well, we did talk about Midnight in Paris, but that is an honorable mention. Yeah. Okay. Flight of the Navigator.
Yes.
Nobody? Okay.
Yeah. Honorable mention.
Honorable mention.
I'm glad we're on that page. And then Army of Darkness.
Yep.
That's it. And Somewhere in Time. No, just kidding. I've never seen Somewhere in Time.
Yeah, all mine were pretty much said. I don't know if you guys saw Meet the Robinsons.
I haven't. I saw that pop up.
But
I remember wanting
to see
it.
Time travel one, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
The animated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I liked it. I thought it was funny.
I didn't see it.
It was cute.
What else?
Anything? All the rest of them have been said.
Okay. Mine basically was Back to the Future. And again, I had some of those Frozen in Time ones that I wasn't sure of. But...
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I put Midnight in Paris on mine too, but we decided that was
a horror movie where the guy is seeing a ghost. It's set in high school, and he's seeing a ghost, and she's like killing people that he goes to high school with, and then the movie ends at prom, and somehow the ghost sends him and his living girlfriend back in time, and it was just fun. I don't remember what it's called. I have no idea what it was
called.
That's
the movie you were talking about.
That's the movie I can't remember the name of.
If you know somebody out there.
If somebody knows the name of this movie.
Email us.
So a guy has a real-life girlfriend and a ghost girlfriend from like the 50s. And they send her back in time. And then he's like, they try to make a phone call. And they realize that their change won't work because it only takes dimes because it's back in the day before they took quarters. And then like the ghost girl kills the living girl.
Ooh.
Wow. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
someone please tell me the name of this movie, because yes. I remember watching it on USA Up All Night, and I can't remember what it was called.
Hmm. We'll try to figure that out. Kevin, any honorable mentions?
All my honorable mentions were already mentioned.
Awesome. So. All right. Well, that's it for this week, and you can find us on the interwebs at thelistfilmpodcast.com.
Now we got to record all over again.
Damn it.
Everything.
On Twitter at the list.
No.
Nope, sorry.
The film podcast. At the film podcast. You could email us.
You didn't even finish your drink.
I know. I'm pacing myself because I got to color correct my movie once we're done. you could email us at thelistfilmpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find us on Facebook as well. You can find me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERAS.
I'm at Janae, JEHNEIGH.
Yeah. I'm at an Adam Scott, AN_AdamScott.
And I'm at K Zuberbier, that's ZUBERBIER.
Yeah. There you go. And you could, email us with suggestions for things. Yeah.
What day is this one coming up? This is going to be, by the time this goes live.
This is going to go live this week.
This week?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wait. No, this is going to go up. Yes. I have something. Oh. It's going to go up this week. So the week of the weekend of the 8th.
All right, but see, now I'm all in time travel mode. What week are you talking about?
This week.
The week of the 8th?
Our present time.
Okay.
I'm going to upload this literally like at midnight, and I'll be up tomorrow or Wednesday.
Okay. So, hey, this weekend, go see Six-Month Rule.
Blaine Weaver.
Blaine Weaver's movie, Six-Month Rule, is playing at the Limley. If you're in California, if you're in New York, you can see it too.
Yes.
But if you're in California, go see it at the Limley in Santa Monica. Six-Month Rule.
Yes.
It's fun. It's funny. Blaine Weaver's great.
If you want more information, it's the episode before this. If you go to our website at thelittlelistfilmpodcast.com, all the dates and locations and links to the theaters are on our webpage. And just go to that episode and you'll see the locations. Click on the location where you can go closest to you live.
6monthrulemovie.com. It's six, the number, not spelled out.
6 month rule the movie,
but yeah, okay. It's fun, it's funny. I mean, yeah, you see Prometheus too, but see 6 month rule first, because it's doing a slow release.
It needs the viewers.
Yeah, it needs help.
Yeah, or go see Prometheus at midnight on Thursday, then Friday if you have some time, go see it.
Make time.
Yeah,
make time for
make time. But see, that way if you're Dynasty Prometheus, you get it out Thursday, and you still have the whole weekend. You know. But yeah, definitely follow, and then you can follow them on Twitter at the 6 month rule movie.
I think you just made that up. Is that
it's two?
I know at Blaine Weaver.
I'll pull it up right now, bro.
You're cut off. No more half a beer for you.
Connections. It would be under mentions or connections. What else?
The most exciting part of the podcast, where Ricardo goes through his phone. And figures
I don't at 6 month rule.
Yeah. Thank you. With the number.
With the number six.
Yes. Yeah.
I knew they were on Twitter. So you can follow them and they'll actually they'll probably let you know if you're not in a town where this movie's showing in theaters, it'll come out very soon on video demand.
Yeah, they're doing video on demand, so they're doing a slow release.
Yeah. Keep up on the Twitter and you'll find out where it's playing on or what websites are gonna show it. Probably Amazon, I assume, iTunes. But keep up with them, and they'll let you know when it goes to video on demand if you live in one of those cities that isn't playing it. But I think the big cities were New York, Louisiana.
New York, Louisiana.
L.A.
L.A. is this week, the 8th.
Chicago? Yeah, Texas.
Chicago.
Yeah. There's another one, I feel. I feel like there was five or six.
It's a good thing he's not paying us to do this.
I know. We'd be horrible at this.
Again,
go to our website, and the dates are there. So. Check those out. Follow him on Twitter at Blaine Weaver. And that's it for this week. Right? Anything else? Oh, follow. Adam. Adam's always.
Shootingthescript.com.
For in depth reviews.
Yeah. Reviews and lists and whatnot.
Such. Yeah. That's it. Have a good week.